some lessons about the light and the night. John chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 14. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We have such a difference between Halloween. Hi, Sister Leah. I didn't see you back there. Lord bless you. Amen. We wanted to give her a medal Wednesday night. She was in ER in late afternoon, and then we see her being dropped off at the church door. So that was pretty amazing. So, where was I? All right. Such a difference between Halloween and Christmas. Halloween is a celebration of darkness. I mean, witches and evil and all kinds of darkness. Well, hi, Sister Yvelle. I didn't see you back there either. Lord bless you. I didn't know you two had sneaked in here. So, all right. Glad to have you here today too. Amen. Such a difference between Halloween and Christmas. Christmas is beautiful lights. Halloween is darkness and evil creatures. So, lessons about the light and the night. What is man's basic problem? It's verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men what? Love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Man has an attraction to darkness because we have a sin nature. But oftentimes we don't like to admit our problems. That's why so many people suffer from all kinds of addictions. They're not willing to admit they have a problem. One sign of being an alcoholic, and the biblical word for alcoholic is drunkard. But a lot of people don't like that term, but that's what the Bible uses. But let's look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 20. Proverbs 23:20. One sign of being an alcoholic or drunkard is using money to buy alcohol that is needed to run the home. So the home suffers from a lack of funds. And we see that truth here in Proverbs 23:20. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for who? The drunkard and the glutton shall come to what? Poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with what? Rags. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a beat up rusty old car at a gas station, and somebody will go in and buy something like $20 worth of lottery tickets. And I'm thinking, well, now I know why they're driving that car. And not that our car's in the best shape either, but you get the point. You can see where they're spending their money. 20 bucks, you know, that's quite a chunk of change just to throw away on lottery tickets. But here, the wine bibber, and wine bibber means to imbibe, to drink in, to take in wine, take in alcohol. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So one sign of an alcoholic or drunkard is that they're using money that needs to be used around the home, and you can see it. Number two, another sign of being an alcoholic or a drunkard is being intoxicated to the point where you can't walk steadily. Notice in Isaiah 24, you might want to hold your place here. We'll be back to Proverbs 23. But Isaiah 24, I don't know if policemen actually use this test anymore. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But they used to ask someone that they thought might be intoxicated to try to walk a straight line. Maybe they have some different test nowadays. Well, I know they have a breathalyzer test. But Isaiah 24 and verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall what? Reel to and fro like what? A drunkard. And shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. And it shall fall and not rise again. So the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. So the drunkard can't walk steady. The drunkard is back and forth. Losing his balance. Number three, another sign of being an alcoholic or drunkard is frequent contention and fighting in the home because of alcohol. Notice in Proverbs 23, many years ago, my grandfather, my grandpa Rector is with the Lord now, but he had some neighbors, and the lady came to, the wife was a Christian and came to church, and the man was not. And he said that her husband was constantly getting drunk. And so one night, probably more than one night, but one occasion in particular, he came down to the rector's house because his wife would flee for refuge there when he would come home drunk. And so he came down in his drunken stupor and wanted his wife to come home. And my grandfather said he set this man down rather hard in a chair. And my grandfather was a strong man. And he set him down. This contention. Notice in Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath what? Contentions. Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that what? Tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. So another sign of being an alcoholic or drunkard is failing body organs from years of drinking. Failing body organs. Proverbs 23, look at verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like what? A serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Well, the serpent and the adder has poison, and that's what alcohol is. It's poison to the body. Another sign of being an alcoholic or a drunkard is the immoral encounters while drinking. The immoral encounters while drinking and under the influence. Verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Number six, another sign of being an alcoholic or a drunkard is facing sickness and fights, but upon awaking the next day, going right back to the bottle. Verse 34, Yea, thou shalt be a sea that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or a sea that lieth upon the top of a mast. How many of you have ever taken a ride on a ship, a big boat? How many of you have ever gotten seasick? Okay. Car sick, maybe. That's the idea of verse 34. When people drink, many times they get sick. It's that rocking motion of the sea. They get sick to their stomach. A lot of people do that when they drink alcohol. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Why? Because they were under the influence. When shall I awake? I will what? Seek it yet again. So those are the traits of someone that's an alcoholic, that's a drunkard. They face all of that trouble, but you know what? The next day when they wake up, they'll be right back at it, drinking again. Why do they have that problem? It's a sin problem. It's a love for darkness problem. But the Bible has good news. Let's go to John 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. No one has to stay in that rut of darkness. John 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way. He's the way out of that life of sin and darkness. Notice in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It's sin that brings bondage to our lives. It's that love for darkness and sin. John 8:34. The Bible says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. It's sin that brings bondage to our lives. And isn't it amazing? So often people have it the exact opposite of the truth. They think that the Christian life brings bondage. And they're so blinded to the bondage and the shackles that are on them. You know, sometimes people turn 21 and they go out and celebrate and get drunk. That's not a celebration. That's starting a life of bondage is what that is. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. You know, we just face, there's just an epidemic of addiction in America. And it's not just alcohol. There's all kinds of drugs. You know, what is they called? Opioids or opioids? Something like that. It's like an epidemic around our nation. It's just people are just in bondage to these things. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But verse 36. If who? The Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Now, a lot of times Americans would be like Jews. The Jews responded to Jesus, but we were never in bondage to any man. But you know what? Americans are the same way. Americans may be free in name, but in name only. Because so many Americans are in horrible bondage to sin. Horrible bondage. How would you describe your life right now? Would you say it's... I'll give you a multiple choice. Three choices. Would you say right now your life is just horrible? Just terrible? Or would you... The second choice is just okay. It's just okay. Or the third choice would be just blessed. Just blessed. Which, where do you fit? Just horrible, just okay, or just blessed? Look at chapter 10, John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 7. John 10 verse 7. How do our lives right now align with these verses of Scripture? John 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am what? the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am what? The door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall what? Go in and out and find what? Pasture. So many people look at the Christian life as like, okay, well, you're entering a jail cell. When the door clunks behind you, you know, that's it. No, it says, verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's not a life of bondage. It's a life of true freedom. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to what? To steal and what? To kill and what? To destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. Do we have that abundant life? Do we have that today? That's not to say that. Oh, well, I can't say I have the abundant life today because I'm in pain. Or I don't have the abundant life today because, I don't have the money for this or that. No, that's not the determining factor. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. No, I'm talking about the abundant life is a life serving Christ and the peace that passes all understanding from doing that despite trials and hardships. Hebrews 11:24. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called what? The son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. That's like being royalty. Well, okay, well, Moses, what could be better than that, than that you would want to renounce being a son of Pharaoh's daughter? Verse 25. What's the first two words? Choosing rather. Choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction. You got to be kidding, Moses. You renounced being a son of Pharaoh's daughter with all of the royalty that goes with that, with all the money that goes with that, with all the prestige that goes with that, with all the life of ease. Moses wouldn't have had to work for a living. Everything would be handed to him. And what did he have? Verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with who? The people of God. Wow. That's quite a testimony. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? The pleasures of sin for what? Season. You see, verse 24, when he came to years, he finally realized that all sin has a very short season. Our poor farmers here in Michigan. Because of weather, getting the crops in late. Because of weather, unable to get the crops out. Potatoes still in the ground. Soybeans still in the fields. Lord willing, they'll be able to get the corn out. But seems like by December, what we're at, it seems like they try to have it out normally by now. But a lot of corn still in. Moses saw that the growing season for sin is so short and the eternal punishment is so long. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, we don't have to try to put on a front that the Christian life is just all rosy and no problems and no afflictions. No. Verse 25, Moses saw that the people of God were under affliction. But he was attracted to it because they had a purpose in life and they had an eternal reward. And he was just wandering in his sinful pleasure, He knew a day was coming of judgment. Verse 26. Esteeming what? The reproach of Christ. I mean, he's not pulling any punches. He's not trying to say, come, be a Christian. It's so fun. You know, it's just the life of a party. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, what? Riches than the treasures where? In Egypt. I mean, they still are amazed over when they, unearth these tombs and so on, just the wealth of these pharaohs. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of what? The reward. He was looking ahead. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing what? Him who is what? Invisible. That is quite a statement. Because if you were living in Egypt at that time, the great wealth, the great glory of Egypt, and to be willing to suffer affliction, to be willing to say that verse 26, the reproach of Christ is greater treasures, greater riches than Egypt has. And these were all before his eyes. I mean, what if all the people you work with, drove Cadillac Escalades and Corvettes and Lamborghinis and Hummers and, all those expensive vehicles. And you saw the little flock at Liberty Baptist Church driving their old, I was going to say Volkswagens, but I think Brother Reese has a Volkswagen. That's a pretty nice one. But I'm thinking back in my day, the old little Volkswagen Beetles. You just thought of that like a poor man's car. And just imagine saying, I'm going to forsake all of you guys and your wealth, and I would rather suffer reproach with all those people driving those old junker clunkers, This is a tremendous thing. Moses had all of this wealth before his eyes, and he was a part of it. And he willingly forsook all of that. In verse 27, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He got to see the Pharaoh all the time. He chose rather to suffer instead of live a life of pleasure and see the highest in the land and talk to the highest in the land. He chose rather to suffer affliction and follow one who is invisible, one who he could not see. Why? Because he lived and saw the emptiness of a life of sin. That's why. So we take heart today in that Moses had everything he could wish, but a sinful life is not satisfying. So man is without excuse for following a life of sin and darkness. Moses is a good example. He had it all, and he was willing to follow the light. What is the first thing that God created? He created the heaven and the earth, but what is the first thing he created after that? Look back in Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. What is the very first thing that God did? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. The first thing that God created after creating the heaven and the earth is light upon the earth. So as we saw in John chapter 3, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But we are without excuse, Because the very first thing that God did was create light. Now notice in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am what? Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath what? Showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what?" And isn't that what we just saw with Moses? "He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened." Darkened. Notice in John chapter 1, you know, when we repent of our sin and receive Christ as our Savior, we find the light of the world. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was what? Life, and the life was what? The light of men." The light of men. Do we have that light in our lives today? Are we seeking the light? Are we putting Him first? Notice in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Is Christ our life? Is He the light of our life? In Matthew 6 and verse 33. "But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are we seeking? Are our lives a life seeking the darkness of this world, or the life and the light that's only found in Jesus Christ? When we think about that, the first thing that God created, He created the heaven and the earth, but the very first thing He created was light. And Jesus is the light of the world. So what does God want us to do this week? Let's look at Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. The Bible says, "Ye are what? The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto" who? "All that are in the house. Let" what? "Your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify" who? "Your Father which is in heaven." God wants us to be light bearers. The very first thing He created after creating heaven and earth was light. God wants us to be light bearers and not to be ashamed of Him. I pray that would be true. And if there's been here today that have not yet come to Jesus Christ, Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God. He came through a miraculous virgin birth, which we're shortly to celebrate Christmas. A miraculous birth. He lived a perfect life, and He died on the cross, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. And if we are willing to repent of our sin, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. If we will repent of our sin, if we will turn to Him by faith and receive Him as our Savior, He will save us. And when we call upon Him, the next thing on the agenda is to follow Him in believer's baptism and to live for Him. When we go under the water, it pictures death, the old life of sin. When we come up out of the water, it pictures a new life in Jesus Christ. And like Moses, he was not ashamed of the Lord. And may we not be ashamed as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Christmas season, a season of light, a season of beauty, a season of excitement. And Lord, I pray that that would be true in our lives, that we would be shining forth for You. May we not be ashamed of You. And I pray that You would help us, that our lights would shine for You, and that others would glorify You as a result. Have Your way in our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name.